Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila, text number 65. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vipram Svabharayam Aprodham. Kule Mahatilam Pitam. Visasarcha chirat papa swarinya panga vittadhi. Translation and purport. By his divine grace, Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotara Shota Shishimana Bhai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because his intelligence was pierced by the lustful glance of the prostitute, the victimized Brahmana, Ajamila, engaged in sinful acts in her association. He even gave up the company of his very beautiful young wife, who came from a very respectful Brahmana family. Please repeat. Because his intelligence was... Customarily, everyone is eligible to inherit his father's property. And Ajamila also inherited the money of his father. But what did he do with the money? Instead of engaging the money in the service of Krishna, he engaged it in the service of the prostitute. Therefore, he was condemned and was punishable by Yamaraj. How did this happen? He was victimized by the dangerous, lustful glance of a prostitute. Hare Krishna. So, Ajamila, simply by a glance of a lusty woman, then Arjuna was completely captivated and victimized. So this is the nature of this material world. Actually, everyone in the world is victimized. They're a victim of Maya. And just like Ajamila, everyone has become bound up by this victimization of Maya and is engaged in sinful activities. See here, the lustful glance was direct sense gratification, we can say. But factually, if anybody has any desire in this material world, it's generally based on lust. Even if it's a so-called pious activity, generally that's also based on lust, because you're wanting something. It means lust. You have desire. So, both sides of the coin here, if you're lusty, here Ajamila is lusty for a woman, which is the Maya is represented in this world by woman. And someone else, before Ajamila, he was controlling his senses, he was following everything nicely. And a person may be following a very pious life, but still actually is simply the other side of the same, of the coin. It's the same thing actually. Because one is lusty, which is considered bad, he's falling down, and one is lusty in the so-called name of advancement. So good and bad are actually relative in this material world. So actually everything is bad. Even the good is bad in the material world. So as long as you have attraction for piety or impiety in this material, that is considered to be lust. You're still lusty to enjoy in this material world. Piously or impiously, it doesn't really matter. It's both based on lust. So there is a nice statement by Srila Prabhupada in the, I think it's the second canto. He's talking about the creation there. And the universal form of the Lord, how it's created. And it says that the material energy is the most alluring smile, the most alluring glance of the Lord. The material energy is the most alluring glance. And he has captivating smile. And his teeth are the art of affection. And Yamaraj is the lord of death. So then Prabhupada says in the purport, very droll, as we say, Prabhupada very comically, not comically, but serious, but the way Prabhupada expresses it in the purport, he says the Lord casts his glance and smiles, displaying his affectionate teeth. His teeth are the art of affection. He smiles, glances and smiles very nicely, displaying his affectionate teeth. And then Prabhupada says, one who can grasp these truths, he will become a soul surrendered to Krishna. So in other words, he's saying that the Lord glances and very attractive smile, and when you see the teeth of the Lord, because when one smiles they show their teeth, the art of affection, so one becomes very much affected and attracted by that. So obviously one is going to embrace that very attractive feature. But what is behind the teeth? At the back there, that is Yama. The jaws are actually Yama, the lord of death. So material nature is very inviting and very sweet, smiling. You're attracted, but what happens? She catches you in her jaws, crushes you. So this is the illusory energy of the Lord. I like that purport, the way Prabhupada expresses it. So this is actually the situation. Some people think this impious sense gratification is nice. Ajamila is attracted to, and others, it's not my cup of tea. So we're very refined. But our sense gratification is something refined. But they're the same thing, actually. They're both going for sense gratification. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, no puna, no papaha. We don't care for punya, we don't care for pap either. Only Radha Krishna. So this is the Vaishnava devotees. They don't care to perform impious activities, nor do they care to perform pious activities. They're both binding. Perform pious activities, you've got to come back and pay off, get a good birth. To perform, get a result from your pious activities. So they're both binding one in the material world. So no punya, no pap, only Radha and Krishna. So this is our intention, simply to serve Radha Gopinath. And if we have to be pious to do it, we'll be pious. And if we have to be puppy to do it, we'll also be puppy. Whatever it takes. Krishna ordered Arjuna kill. It seems like pup. Arjuna even thought it's pup, sinful. But at the end, I don't want to be puppy Krishna, I want to be pious man. Please don't force me to fight. It's very irreligious, it's sinful, degradation of family. Please don't ask me to be pup. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to the end. Then Arjuna, where is my enemy? Let me kill them. You want this fight to take place, Krishna? Let me kill them. Where are my brothers and sisters? To kill his own family members. This is the test of devotion. You have to prepare to kill your own family members. Arjuna passed the test. Yudhisthira, Maharaj Yudhisthira, never told a lie in his life. Then Krishna tells him, you tell him that Ashwatthama is dead. Yudhisthira was so pious, Dhammaraj, his chariot didn't touch the ground. He was just like a demigod. His chariot was above the ground wherever he went. But then Krishna told him, you tell him Ashwatthama is dead. Yudhisthira said, Krishna, I cannot tell a lie. Immediately his chariot crashed to the ground. He lost his piety. He lost all his pune because he didn't surrender to Krishna's instruction. He thought that his being a good man, not telling a lie, was better, was the greatest thing to do. And Krishna gave him an order. Instead of executing the order of Krishna, he thought, better let me remain a pious man. That is sinful. Therefore, his chariot fell on the ground. That was his sin. Wanting to be pious, that was actually his sin. Not wanting to tell a lie, not wanting to be impious. That actually, he caused him to lose all of his piety. So, we're only interested in serving Radha Gopinath. Today is the appearance, birthday, inauguration ceremony of Radha Gopinath. And it's also very interesting. We're observing this ceremony, the installation, the appearance of Radha Gopinath. But factually, this is eternal. This is Nitya Lila. So how can there be installation or inauguration for something that's eternally existing? But we understand, there's that story when Prabhupada was coming out of the Kibavan. Bharati Vidya Bhavan, Vishama Shunda, and he said, we should have a temple there. Something like that. We should have a temple there. Vishama Shunda forgot all about it. Then years later he came and he found, oh, they had built this temple here in Radha Gopinath. This was years before Prabhupada just pointed it out as he was coming out the Bharati Bhavan. We should have a temple there. Vishama Shunda forgot all about it. But when he came here, and so the temple and the deities was established. He suddenly remembered, oh, I remember that. Prabhupada told me that. So Prabhupada could see that. He had that vision. Oh, well, actually, it's eternally, this is the eternal place of Radha Gopinath. Prabhupada gave an example. He said, Nitya Lila, he was giving a lecture in Mayapur one time. I think it was the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he says, Nityalila means, he gives a material example. Just like the sun rises in the horizon at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then at midday it's overhead. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening it's on the western horizon. But for someone somewhere else in the world, when we are seeing the sun rising, he's seeing it setting. And someone else, somewhere else in the world, he's seeing the sun is overhead. But for us, it's the sun is just 6 o'clock, morning. So for someone in the world, they're seeing the sun at every phase, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, all the way up. So he said, this is a material example, but it's showing the point of Nityalila, that even the material thing we can experience can be existing. For someone, they're seeing at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, the sun is existing every hour of the day. So he said, similarly, Krishna's pastime is like that. It appears to come into vision at a certain time, he performs his pastime, then it appears to disappear. Krishna leaves. But factually, for someone else, where the pastime is disappearing, for someone else in another place, the pastime is just appearing. So Krishna's appearance, his activities, his disappearance, for someone, they can see this, all that they're happening right now. Somewhere right now, Krishna's pastime is appearing. He's making his appearance. Somewhere right now, Krishna's disappearing from that same pastime. And somewhere right now, Krishna is performing all these activities. Right now, Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill somewhere. Right now, somewhere, Krishna's killing Putan. Right now, somewhere, Krishna's showing Arjuna the Vishwaroop. All these, they're all eternal, going on somewhere. Just like the sun is always present for someone at different... So in some universe or another, these pastimes are continually going on. Nityalila. So Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Hyderabad. I think it was 1976. They were installing Madan Mohanji, I think. There. And it was a Janamashtami. And Srila Prabhupada said, he started to talk about Nityalila. And he said, just like tomorrow. He said, tomorrow we will do the inauguration of this temple of Radha Madan Mohan. Because it was Janmasthami day. So we'll have this inauguration of Radha Madan Mohan in Hyderabad. And then he said, the day after that, exactly the same thing will be going on in another place. That Radha Madan Mohan will be installed, the temple installation will be going on in another place, in another universe. The same thing, he said. Just like why do we establish a temple and establish a deity? Because it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. We're expanding his mission. We're opening a temple. It becomes a great center, attracting people. It's a Vaishnava center. We can chant Hare Krishna. We can perform the Sankirtan Jagannath. We can preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Expand. So these are centers which are for the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to expand his mission. So, what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? Briti piti chatavaga nagaradi gram savatra prachahoi bimaranam. In every town and village of the world, the holy name will be chanted. This was the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his mission. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never fulfilled his mission. Because he was only preaching in and around India. It never actually went to every town and village of the world. His mission was actually unfulfilled during his presence here. Whereas Krishna, he came, he killed all the demons, he established Yudhisthira on the throne. His mission was finished, he bound everything up, so he went back. His pastime was finished. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime never finished. His mission is not finished. His desire is every town and village of the world. So his mission is still going on. And we are part of that. That's why Prabhupada says the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the, one of the branches of the tree from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we know, this mission goes on for 10,000 years into Kali Yuga. Then after that it's wound up. Then we can say the mission is finished. But until that time, the mission is still going on to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he's not physically present. So what's happening now, we see, is it's simply an expansion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. International Society for Krishna Consciousness is more or less just an expansion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord and his devotees propagating Krishna consciousness. So it's still going on, so we're part of that. It's a very prominent time now in history, in the history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, because for 500 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, then practically it went down, the teaching were going down, and it became hidden. Occasionally it was brought to light by great acharyas. They sometimes revive it after the six Goswamis and Jiva Goswami and Narottam, etc. They revive it, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It sometimes gets lost. Then at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, practically it was lost. Lord Chaitanya, the pure teaching, there's many upper sampradayas who were Gaudiyas. They were followers of Lord Chaitanya, but they were all deviants. There were all these different sects, but the pure Vaishnava teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually hidden at that time. It wasn't being propagated. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it took him 6 or 7 years to find the Chaitanya-mrita. He was searching for it. And then by his single-handed effort practically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established the pure teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like that, sometimes the teachings go down and sometimes up again. When a great acharya comes and preserves those teachings, it's always here, but sometimes it appears to be hidden. And then again it's revived. And so then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also came and preached it very strongly in India, 64 months in India. He even started abroad. But actually it was our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who actually took the mission abroad and actually established it in different countries of the world. Nagaradigram, every country of the world. So Srila Prabhupada is very, very significant acharya, and probably the most significant acharya for the rest of the Kali Yuga, because he's the one who's actually established this mission now all over the world, which is the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just like now there's a revival, and even Mayapur is much revived now. Nityananda predicts this. For hundreds of years there will be a flood in Mayapur. For 100 years, actually, the whole place is flooded. Then for the next 300 years, the Ganges is constantly moving. All the pastime places of Krishna Mahaprabhu get lost. And then again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing this. And then after 400 years, again the Ganga goes back to normal course. Then the task of reclaiming the Dham again comes. Then he says many, many bathing ghats will be built. Now we're seeing that happen. Many, many residential buildings have been built. You go, when you go through Maipo now, you can't recognize it. Hundreds, actually, hundreds of houses, residential buildings, where they will worship Krishna. And all those houses you go in, they've got little temples of Krishna, Gaur-Nitai. So this is all prediction. It's all coming true. This is happening right now. And then he speaks of the Adbhut Mandir will come. And from that, service to Lord Chaitanya will go all over the world. So that also appears to be very prominent. Maybe next year will he begin that. Anyway, this is all happening now. It's a very prominent time, actually, in the history of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in establishing Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada is a very prominent figure in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is actually the train or the boat that is carrying and actually establishing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in Kali Yuga. So you see, it's very much connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, because it's a part of it. We're like 521 Gaurabdha Panchavarunis, yeah? 521 Gaurabdha. We're 521 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see now the revival is coming. It's been predicted. The revival of his movement is now becoming up stronger and stronger. So like we're 521 years, or that was a few years ago. So anyway, say 520 years. Or say 512 years ago. I think that was about the time this was established. 512 years, Gaurabdha, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Radha Gopinath, this was established here. So 512, and this particular day, 512 Gaurabdha, the 18th, is it? Of July. 18th July. So then, this was established. Following in the footsteps and the wake of Lord Chaitanya's movement to establish his mission. So somewhere else in another universe, where Chaitanya, they're a day ahead or a day behind. So when you establish this temple here, Radha Gopinath's temple, 512 years, and on the 18th of July, the next day, 512 years and 18 day, July 18th, in that particular universe, again that temple will be established. So it's been established all the time, and the day before also one was established, and the day after one was established. So this is called Nitya Lila. It's going on eternally. So this particular time, following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then this will happen. And now we're 521 years, and 18th of July, we're celebrating the first anniversary, the 18th anniversary. So in another place, they'll be celebrating the 19th anniversary. Another place they'll be celebrating the 17th anniversary. Today. So all of this whole pastime, because it's the eternally going on. So then we understand the significance, actually, you know, of this Krishna consciousness movement. It's not something that some Swami from Bengal happened to, he was blessed by Krishna and he worked hard and established this movement. This is all ordained by the Lord. It's all under the Nitya Lila. Now Prabhupada said you can take part in that, then you also become part of the Nitya Lila. simply by your choice. And you can also choose not to take part. And he spoke the same thing. He's just in Mayapur. He said, actually, this Adbhut Mandir is already existing there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also saw it. He had a vision of it. He said, it's already existing. He said, you've got to put the bricks. You've got to build it. But actually, it's already existing spiritually. He said, just like when Krishna showed Arjuna the Vishwa root, he showed that he was chewing all of the soldiers on both sides. Krishna was killing everyone. But they were still alive, but at that time the battle hadn't even begun. But Krishna said, have a look. I'm killing them anyway. It's all ordained by me. They're all going to be killed. Now you fight, Arjuna. You take the credit. I killed them, you see. I'm killing everyone. I'm doing it all. But Arjuna, if you fight, you'll get the credit. Everyone will think you killed all these people. But have a look. I'll show you. I'm chewing everyone up. It's me who's killing everyone. But you get the credit, Arjuna. The Prabhupada says, so similarly, you can build this temple for Krishna. He said, you'll get the credit. But actually, it's already existing. But you will get the credit if you build it. And if you don't build it, he said, you won't get the credit. But someone in the future will build it, because it is the desire of the Lord, and they'll get the credit. So this is a very, very transcendental movement, although sometimes our consciousness thinks it's not very transcendental. But factually, the only thing material about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the person who thinks it's material. The consciousness of a person who thinks it's material, that's the only thing that's material about the society. Because this is actually a part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. It's his leela, and it's going on eternally. So tonight we will have the good fortune to be able to glorify Radha Gopinath and their anniversary and all the achievements that they've achieved here. And someone else will also have an opportunity somewhere else to be glorifying their different anniversaries at the same time in different universes. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shama Veda Bhakta Prind ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mine. Because Krishna, in the universal form, he showed that the soldiers had already been killed. Now that was the material body of the soldiers, you know, because they were not even full-fledged devotees, all of them. By mercy, they went back to Godhead. So what happens to the deities who are transcendental, they're being served, and then in another universe, they keep being appearing. But what about the deities in Vrindavan after so many years? Only some of them reappear, like Govinda Dev comes to Rupa Goswami, Radha Madan Mohanji comes to Sanatan Goswami. So the deities, they just wither away over a period of time, or how do we understand their pastimes in this world to be eternal?
The deity,
over a period of time. Because they are made up of, to our vision, but ordinary elements.
Yeah, we understand. Yeah, the deity is eternal. So the question is, if the deity is eternal, how come they appear to disappear in course of time? Just like Jagannath, he's replaced every 12 years, whatever that titi is coming. Then they make a new Jagannath. Because then that's recommended, because they're made from perishable materials. It's just a matter of time. So even if they're made of stone, which lasts much longer, but still also that's perishable. Metal, it lasts a long time. But ultimately, everything material is perishable. So the idea is that we can't see spirit at the moment. We have material eyes. So Krishna, he appears in the form that we can see. That's otherwise we can't see him. We don't have the spiritual eyes. So therefore Prabhupada said, then he appears in the form of wood or stone or metal. Because you can see wood, stone, metal. But Krishna's appearing in that form. And Prabhupada said, but don't think the deity is made of stone, of brass or stone. He said, he is Krishna, and he can accept your service. And then he said, and even if he is stone or metal, he is still Krishna. Because earth, water, fire, and air, these are all my elements. Krishna says, they're my material energy. It's my energy. So in that sense, he said, it's also Krishna. The energy is none different than the energetic. He said, but out of kindness, Krishna's kindness, because we can only see wood and stone, then he manifests himself in that form. But it is Krishna, and he's accepting our service, and he's witnessing what's going on, etc. He's hearing our prayers, he's accepting our service. The deity disappeared, it was broken, damaged, finished, or something like that. So does that mean this Krishna is... No, Krishna can't be broken. There was some problem, Hindu Muslim problem one time, and in Bangladesh, they attacked the Gaudiya Math there, and they actually broke the deity, the stone deity. And devotees were very, very upset, naturally, and sad. And then they told Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, they come and they broke Krishna. He said, no. He said, they only broke the deity. They cannot break Krishna. They don't break the deity. They only break the deity. They don't break Krishna. How they can hurt Krishna? So Krishna can turn matter into spirit and spirit into matter. So when it comes and the people are coming and they come to smash the deity, then Krishna leaves. They just smash the deity. Then you make a new deity and Krishna comes out. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, when you look, he said, you see the deity or you see Krishna? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, he was seeing the deity of Jagannath. But then he saw Krishna. He was seeing Krishna playing the flute. So, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Bilo Chanina, Shandasa Deva Hideshu Viloka Yanti, Yam Shama Sundaram Machinta Guna Sarupam. Govindamari Purusham Dhamahamajami. That when there is actual love, devotion, when you see the deity, you don't see the deity, you see Krishna directly. You see Krishna directly. The deity is Krishna. But when you're looking, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you don't see the deity, you actually see Krishna. He's standing there in person. So depending on your consciousness, if you see with love, you'll see Krishna. If you haven't got that love, you see Krishna as the deity. He's still Krishna. He's acting. He's the deity acting as Krishna. But when there's love, he's Krishna. He's acting. And he can even talk to you. He can walk. He can do anything. But the deity, it doesn't seem he can do that. So out of his kindness, because we've forgotten our love for Krishna, then he's coming in and we've forgotten the vision, how to have that vision of Krishna. Then he's coming in the form we can see, we can serve, we can touch, we can smell the incense, we can... That is just his kindness. But still the deity is always considered eternal, eternal principle. Not principle, he's eternal, it's Krishna.
This eternal and sublime teachings of Krishna consciousness going down and coming up again, going down, coming up again, they were also to be considered as pastimes of the Supreme Lord, so that at one point in time he gets glorified. How do we understand this? That the sublime and eternal principles, they at one point in time they go down and again they come up, surface. How do you understand this? Do we understand also as like Nitya Leela or something like that?
No, we understand this. It's just due to the terrible age of Kali that it actually covers the pure teachings. It's just due to the age of Kali, and people become misguided and they concoct all different philosophies, and actually the pure teachings get covered. It's due to the simple activities of the age, that's all. People don't maintain their purity enough to carry these pure teachings all the time. And then as the purity goes down, the teachings become covered and lost. Therefore, Krishna says, I spoke the Gita to Vivasvam, but again it became covered. Again, I'm coming to revive it, Arjuna. Jiva Goswami describes it as the Vishwa Raja Vaishnava Sabha. Is that correct order? The Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha, or something like that. It means the association of the great devotees, the kings of devotees, or the association of the king of devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the king of devotees. So the association of the devotees who are at the feet of the king of the devotees. Anyway, he gave it that. He said, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this, Vishwa Raja Vaishnava Sabha. And then it was propagated by the six Goswamis, systematically by Jiva. He said, then after some time it went down. Again, it comes up. The great acharyas, he said, it's always present, these teachings, because they're pure, they're eternal. But just due to the age and the sinful influence, they get covered. And then a great acharya comes along by the will of the Lord to revive it. But it's not by the will of the Lord it goes down. It's due to the sinful age that it gets covered. But by the Lord's mercy, then a great acharya comes along and he revives it again. Krishna sends his representatives. Then the whole thing is revived. That's why Prabhupada was so adamant, in stressing, the purity and Kiti Radha Gopinath Juki. Prabhupada was so adamant in stressing, very strictly following the principles, very strictly adhering to the principles that he has given, very strictly adhering to the philosophy of Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada was so, so protective about introducing anything else into ISKCON. Prabhupada was so protective, he didn't even like us to really associate with his god brothers. He said, because if they say something a little bit different than what I'm saying, he was so protective. Even his own god brothers, who had exactly the same philosophy, Prabhupada was so protective. He said, the way I presented Krishna consciousness, they may present it from a different, it may become confusing. So we have to be very diligent and really understand the essence of this mission that is coming down, and very stick to these principles very, very strictly. Otherwise, it easily gets lost. 13 upper sampradayas sprung up from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Christianity, okay, starts as a pure movement. How many branches are there now? Someone told me one time, it was either 17,000 or 21,000 different branches of Christianity. So they have a good idea, and they think it's pretty good. So then you deviate from the real thing. So therefore, Prabhupada was always very strict with us, and we also have to be very strict. Not introducing anything or trying to change anything in the our doctrines. Then the movement can flourish. That is the Lord's desire. It can keep going. Otherwise, it will go up and down. But it's always there. Sometimes it gets covered, but it's always eternally existing. It's just waiting until a pure devotee comes and actually makes it, revives it again like that. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.